Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 247 of Nerd Pride Radio. 247?
It's the time of coverage we're always giving you, because this is news radio.
Ah, okay. You've just stepped on my description. See, 247 is the name of all sorts of things because
I don't read your script.
Because I know you don't. Because it's 24/7, and it's also the approximate number of acres in a square kilometer. And while that's not as cool, it is something that is true 24/7. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones, and I am here with my son Aiden, who hasn't been on the microphone in ages, and I miss him. You can't see us hugging, but we are hugging like we actually like each other. But me, I'm a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus Aiden's here. No, plus there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week, and sometimes even with my son, to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios at Camp Crystal Lake. So, how are you?
Alive.
Nice. And actually, apparently, Camp Crystal Lake is the location of Aiden's apartment, because that's where we're at. So, first off, real quick.
The lake's being weird as of late.
Yeah, I know. I was just looking over a whole bunch of Camp Crystal Lake t-shirts as I was making this joke, and then there's a whole bunch of, you know, Camp Counselor, Camp Crystal Lake, 1980. There's a whole bunch of these, and the majority of these shirts feature the hockey mask on the shirt. Some of them even have Jason, like, paddling a canoe with his machete. which is adorable, but, you know, I'd really...
You're just looking for the name reference and nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. I would love one that just looks like a cheap camp shirt that doesn't even have a real fancy-ass logo on it or anything. It's just, you know, Camp Crystal Lake, 1980. And then, if it's going to say counselor, that needs to go on the back, because that's how they do those shirts. So you would wind up with Camp Crystal Lake, 1980 on the front, and then counselor is printed on the back, because, you know, that would make it look more like an authentic camp shirt. So... or staff, or anything like that. But, you know, whatever. That's not the point. The point is I have updates. My first update, last week I talked about my brother and my parents' house being flooded. Houses, they live in separate houses. Kyle does not live in their basement anymore.
Or so he tells us.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going to take his word for it. And my brother said he was very touched by my talk last week when I talked about everyone and all the support they were getting. And he said, hey, look, they had some warning that things might be happening, and so I shouldn't put so much blame on the Lower Colorado River Authority. So, you know, he apparently thinks I was being a little too harsh on them. I'm still not quite sure because, I mean, they had to have opened the floodgate at some point hours before the water got into their backyard, and they could have told people then at least. I mean, yeah, they had this predicted, and they knew that they were going to probably have to do it, maybe. But anyway, Kyle says I shouldn't blame them, so I'm going to stop blaming them. Okay, it's all minor. It's all water under the bridge and over the bridge and carrying
the
bridge.
In the cracks of the bridge.
Carrying the bridge along with it to smash into somebody's house. Also, I got so caught up in describing all that last week that I forgot to mention Mexico Beach. For those of you who know, the Hurricane Michael slammed into Florida.
Is that where the water is coming from?
And specifically, no, that's not where the Texas water is coming from, but it is where, well, the Mexico. Anyway, Mexico Beach got wiped out. Mexico Beach was all over the news for a while because the whole, yes, and I know, and all over the next 200 square miles.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Yeah, okay. But Mexico Beach got wiped out, and it was, I mean, like solidly, the town is gone, just mm-hmm. wiped up. There's a few houses standing. There's a, you know, but it was a disaster. And the interesting thing about that, from my point of view, is, look, my dad, after his house flooded, he called his brother Jim, and Jim was describing how, well, they just were able to get down to their plot in Mexico Beach, and they were able to pick through the ruins because, well, their house is gone. So, literally, my dad and his brother both lost houses within a week of each other through completely unrelated acts of nature over 1,000 miles apart. And it occurred to me, because, look, when I was growing up, God, we went to Mexico Beach all the time. My grandparents, in fact, I haven't put up a link to that video yet, but that video of my dad holding up the wedding picture of his parents, his dad, Bob Jones, was actually mayor of Mexico Beach for a short time. Because they had, gotten a vacation home in Mexico Beach. And at first they rented property down there, and they went so often and they liked it so well, because they lived in Tallahassee. They liked it so well that they decided that they would buy a little vacation home there so they'd always have a place to go. And then they liked that so well that they decided, well, why do we keep traveling back and forth? Why don't we just live at Mexico Beach? And so they bought a second house. They sold their one in Tallahassee and bought a second house that they could live in, and then they kept renting out the other one for a little extra money. And so they were Mexico Beach residents for ages. And my Uncle Jim also had a vacation house there and a house in Tallahassee. The one in Mexico Beach got wiped out by the storm, and his Tallahassee house, not wiped out, but also damaged by the hurricane, and so he's having that to deal with. But the thing that I thought about after the fact is, if someone had wanted to, like, tip off a news agency and try and make a story out of this, I think it would have gotten picked up and been national news that these two brothers, both in their 70s, both lost houses in completely unrelated events within the same week. I think the Mexico Beach Marble Falls tie-in, I think that would have actually been a news story that would have caught on. And I don't know if they would have wanted that sort of attention or not, but it was something that could have happened if they wanted to make it that way. So anyway, that's it. That's it for updates. I'm sorry. Updates. We're done. It's time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, because Aiden wants to talk too. This is the time for me and Aiden where we talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy weeks, we add it to our master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
So, right into it. Geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
And boy, do they ever.
Hey, welcome back, kiddo.
I realize that I gave you the wrong order, so I'm going to read this from bottom to top.
Okay, that's fine, too.
All right, so, if you don't know, we go on descending order, so the best movies are always first on the list.
Okay.
And first on the list this week is The Diabolical.
I have never heard of The Diabolical. Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
Sweet.
Fancy that.
Yeah.
Is it a crappy horror movie?
No.
Oh.
So, it starts out with a kind fatherless family in a new home. As you do.
Okay.
And an apparition starts to appear. Okay. First, metaphysical, then physical.
Okay.
And through a turn of events, spoilers, they find out that it's not a ghost, but it's actually time travel experiments from the future where they're sending back convicts because they're expendable.
Wow.
So you have a future murderer in your house.
Whoa, I don't know if I want to know any more than that, because that sounds awesome.
You don't, because the twist ending is spectacular.
That is so awesome. Holy crap. I'm totally into that.
Yeah, no.
All right, cool. So that one was worth it. You enjoyed that one. Yeah. All right.
And then a more famous one is As Above, So Below.
Yeah, I see that one I've heard of because I saw the ads for it.
It's
like doing the, catacombs underneath Paris?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's the search for the Philosopher's Stone.
Sweet. Harry Potter's got it.
Not that Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, that was the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, no,
we're American.
No, we're talking the alchemical Philosopher's Stone.
That was the one that they were supposed to have in Harry Potter, too.
Was it?
Yeah, same one. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's all done.
But, it's really good, and it was a fun watch all the way through. I can't say a lot about that one without giving some stuff away.
Mm, okay.
I'll tell you, they go into the catacombs and some supernatural shit happens, but...
I would not have guessed.
But beyond that, I can't say much.
Okay.
Then is Temple.
Because, by the way, As Above, So Below keeps showing up in my Netflix list as something that I might want to watch, and I've been tempted a few times.
I would recommend.
But, okay. So, Diabolical, and As Above, So Below. Got it.
Temple is another one I recommend.
You don't sound as enthusiastic.
I'm trying to find a way to explain this. So, it's a group of three adults who are trying to document old abandoned temples from Japanese history. And the weird part is that Mike doesn't think that I'm loud enough, so he had to pause the episode to move the microphone closer to me. Thanks, Mike.
Smooth. They won't suspect a thing. You left off at Japanese temples.
I know I did. And so two of them are banging. One of them wants to be banging. But, and so they go out to the temple, and there's supposed to be this spirit that guards it, and it starts murdering people. Yeah, and there's a little boy guide that they had, but then he went back home, and...
Is it scary?
It is very scary, and there's a lot of twists and turns. Again, I mean, unless you want me to drop the spoilers tag right here. The boy turns out never existed. He was a ghost.
Oh. Spoilers.
Which is weird because that was the only thing that all three of them could see.
Really?
Yeah. Cause otherwise, again, massive spoilers cause it's not really a recommend. It's really slow and meticulous.
But if you're excited about seeing Temple, you know, skip ahead 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then, instead of the spirit guardian that's murdering people, it's actually just one of the dudes.
Really?
Well, it's actually a really good twist.
Okay.
It was done very well, but it's just so slow.
Okay.
I can't get behind it.
Look, that was so lackluster that I don't even know if I want you to do the fourth one.
Oh, no, you do.
Really?
Speaking of getting behind it, let me tell you about Black Room.
Okay, what's Black Room about?
So imagine someone wanted to make porn.
Okay, I can imagine.
That's Black Room.
That's it?
Yeah.
But, okay, it's a horror movie?
Imagine porn, except at the end of every scene, someone brutally dies.
Oh, okay. Is it a slasher movie? Is it
no.
a serial killer? Is it supernatural?
It's supernatural.
And so it's a...
A demon is fuck murdering people.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, Ronster doesn't like it when you use the F word, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ronster.
Yeah, he asked if you could just tone that back just a little bit.
Well, how else am I supposed to describe this?
Okay, no. Granted, look, and again, in context, that made perfect sense. So, Yeah, and look, I wouldn't even listen to Ronster, but he does contribute more to the Podomatic than anybody else out there.
I'm sorry. So. Intercourse execution.
Oh, that does not sound nearly as scary. Maybe.
I mean, I would go into detail on literally any scene in the movie, okay, but so, I'm pretty sure we'd get banned.
So are we talking about someone who just wanted to make... I mean, like...
It was obviously someone's fetish on the production team.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering, is that someone wanted to make a horror movie and decided that they were just going to throw in as much sex and nudity as they thought they could because... This was something peculiar to them. This was a...
It wasn't that they were trying to throw in as much as they could. It was obviously the point of making the film.
So, okay, so it's someone who has a snuff fetish and is...
Yeah, it's literally a movie about an incubus. Like...
Gross. Okay.
There's not a lot of dancing around it. It's...
Look, okay, so that's our four Netflix horror movies. But we've got one more horror movie that we went to see last week.
And we
went to a theater... Yeah. Because we would see Halloween.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Spoilers.
So, you know what? I think I can do it without spoilers. Because if you haven't seen it, I really want you to go see Halloween.
Oh, absolutely.
I really want you to go see Halloween. We're gonna try not to spoil it. I will tell you, we both enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And to me, it was not just a good horror movie. It was just a good movie.
Right.
It was a really well done movie. And, The premise here, and this is not a spoiler because this is the first 5 minutes of the film, is that Jamie Lee Curtis is in this, reprising her role as Laurie Strode, and it's been 40 years since the original Halloween, 1978.
I mean, there's been Halloweens interspersed in those years.
Yes,
but...
I'm sure every year had a Halloween again, just... Anyway, the whole
point is... Not a murder Halloween.
Right. Not as many murder Halloweens as this one. All right. Anyway, the point is that Jamie Lee Curtis's character has... Her entire life has been defined by what happened to her in 1978. So she has spent the last 40 years with severe PTSD and doing everything she can to prepare for how to protect herself if something like this ever happened again. And because you know you're going to a Halloween movie...
You know it's going to happen again.
Right. It is not any kind of a spoiler to tell you that, oh shit, that sort of stuff is going to happen to her again.
Weirdly enough, there was no murder and there was no Mike Myers.
That's right.
Weird.
How odd. Yeah, no. It is the interplay between her and Myers, the setup for all of it. It was just a couple of spots, one spot, where I'm like, okay, but that's just random coincidence. How the hell is it? And it wasn't even a thing that was necessary for moving the plot forward. It was just to heighten the tension a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, but how would he even have known to have been in that spot to happen to catch this person at the, come on. But other than that, everything else was really well constructed with really good reasons for why people were where they were and why they were doing what they were. And, you know, it was a good Halloween movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue with it.
I think that the diehard fans of the original would absolutely enjoy this one.
Yes. Plus, even though she didn't feature very heavily in it, Judy Greer was in it. Judy Greer, her daughter, Judy Greer, she was in it for a bit, but she wasn't the focus. It was mostly Jamie Lee Curtis and her granddaughter. Those were the two.
Yeah, it skips a generation.
But I love Judy Greer, so I was glad to see her in it. I like anytime she gets work. I think she's great. So, that's it for Halloween, unless we want to do spoilers. But it was really good, dudes. Really good.
Would recommend.
Yes. All right. Now, the rest of this.
Fingertips. Fingertips. Fingertips.
That's right. Don't do that. I hate that. It's fingertips. This is the stuff that, again, I'm just too lazy to organize into full segments, or maybe they're just not meaty enough for full segments. Either way, just some stuff that's been on the master list, and since I just did a fingertips and cleaned out stuff, I can't even complain that this is stuff that's been sitting around forever. This is all the new stuff. Here it is. First off, Planet of the Apes. You've seen a Planet of the Apes movie or two, right?
Yes, I have. I was yawning. Thanks.
Yeah, no, okay. That's when I like to ask you questions, or when I have a drill in your mouth, because that's what the dentist does.
Please don't talk while I'm working on your teeth.
So you gonna vacation down at the beach again? Please don't talk when I have my fingers in your mouth. So anyway, where was that from?
I don't know.
Noah's answering. I don't think it was Little Shop of Horrors.
Nah.
I don't... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Irrelevant. So, yeah, actually, Aiden has seen every Planet of the Apes. All the originals, yes. The early ones, he's seen all the new ones. That was watching Planet of the Apes together with his
whichever
mom.
Whichever one
they
went back in time
years.
And left a super intelligent ape and then creating a grandfather paradox, that was the worst one.
Yes. Oh, I've seen that one. I've seen all the new ones, and I've seen, like, 2 or 3 of the old ones.
Out of, like, 17.
But like I say, Aiden, I believe, watched every single Planet of the Apes movie with his mom.
Yeah.
And it was their thing, and it was cool. So.
Yeah.
I was just thinking this week.
You do that sometimes?
I know.
Wait, Mom, this is
fine. All right, Noah's going to come around as well. But we were thinking, with Planet of the Apes, I know that the modern movie series has reached its end. Like, we've actually reached the point where, okay, you know, humans are now reverting to being dumb animals. Apes now have complete control of the planet. There's no more conflict left between human and ape. But is there still another movie yet to be made? Somewhere in the time period between, you know, the end of the last movie and the time when astronauts from yesteryear wind up in the ape future. Is there some room for ape stories in between that? And I know that Planet of the Apes, in some of its iterations, address issues of racism, and they address issues of... anyway, what I'm wondering about is, I think good middle stories, did any of the movies ever address classism? I mean, not even necessarily straight-up racism, although it would be racism, but issues of privilege, issues of, like you know,
yeah,
hey,
the lemurs were inherently lesser than the orangutans.
So what lemurs?
There are lemurs, chimpanzees, gorillas, and orangutans.
Okay, and chimps, at least by the end of the final movie, chimps seem to be the dominant ape.
Right,
and they would be in charge. And so it was occurring to me that could you do a thing where you have like. And they wouldn't say it out loud because it would just be too hokey. But a movie that demonstrates the facets of chimp privilege and the way chimps feel like, look, all apes are equal. Look, Dr. Zaius, the man's a doctor. He's risen. Like, how can there be any possible prejudice when we've got gorillas and orangutans who hold such high offices?
We have an orangutan president. It's all right.
Okay, so you do things like that, but then also show ways that ape society is inherently biased towards chimps because, well, there's more of them and they've been the dominant force for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if that has been in any previous ape movie. I've never read any Planet of the Apes novels.
They're not that smart.
Well, and it's also, they wanted to be. Oh, they wanted to
oh,
be so bad with the nuclear bomb. They so wanted to be.
They worshipped a missile.
But I thought that would be, if you were going to write an ape movie or an ape story for today, I think that would be a good...
They did.
...allegory. No, as in, like, specifically addressing this culture right now, to make commentary on this decade.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be an interesting way to do it. So, anyway, just a thought. So, before I skip ahead, because these are all mine...
Yeah.
Do you have any other? Do you have any fingertips things you wanted to bring up?
I got 10 of them.
Sweet. Every day I leave my office right around 4 o'clock or 4:30 to drive home, and every day at 4:05, my phone gives me a notice that says, "Hey, with traffic, it'll only take you 8 minutes to get home today."
Yeah.
Every day. That's how much Google knows about me. Like I've never done any Google. Notices the times that I drive home and then starts giving me notices of, hey, you make this drive every day, so you want to know how the traffic's doing? Which, you know, in my town, I don't because...
It's the same every
day. Yeah, it's never said anything other than 8 minutes, ever. Because that's how long it takes me to get home. But, like...
This time it'll take 7.
Yeah, I have never... asked it to do any of this. I've never pointed out any of this stuff, but it knows where my home is, And therefore, and it knows I make this drive every day. So every day it warns me. It doesn't say in the morning, though. It never tells me how long it's going to take me to get to work.
Because you're never constant enough in the morning.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess morning is usually, it's between, I guess it could be anywhere from 6:15 to 8, depending on, depending on what's going on during the day. Anyway, I just thought that was odd. Again, the computers know too much about us. Hey, all right, here's a question. Why can't we regenerate yet?
Because our stem cells aren't advanced?
Yeah. Okay, but when I was a kid, there was all sorts of talk about having flying cars and jetpacks and this kind of stuff.
I didn't know if you were looking for an actual answer or if you were asking a rhetorical question.
Both? I don't know. Because when I was a kid, in addition to flying cars and jetpacks and food that comes in pill form, one of the other things that was always talked about when I was a kid, and this was not talked about in just science fiction settings, this was actually real science that you would see on the news where they talk about, or in your textbooks at school, or you would see things about amphibians and the power of amphibians to regenerate.
Yeah.
Regenerate whole lost limbs. And they would always include the line about, by studying how this works, we hope to one day be able to reproduce this effect in humans.
We're still saying that line.
Right, and we still say that. We've been saying that since I was a kid, so at least 40 years, I assume it started
before. At least 100 years.
So for the last 50, 60 years, we have been telling people that, hey, by studying amphibians, one day we'll be able to regenerate. Well, when is that going to happen?
Well, also, you heard about flatworms recently, right?
What about flatworms?
We discovered that a single flatworm, segmented into four pieces, can regrow a new tail, a new brain, and new eyes.
All four pieces?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you cut up a flatworm into four pieces, and, well, now you got four flatworms.
Unfair. We should be able to regenerate by now. Look, and the reason it comes
up... I should be able to slice off my head and have a friend.
If you have not been listening to the weirdest thing I learned this week from Popular Science, you absolutely need to listen to this podcast. If you enjoy freaky, weird science stuff, then Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week is exactly where to go for this. And this week, on their Halloween episode, they talked about a salamander that, as a defense mechanism, when it is startled enough, it rotates all of its ribs forward until they poke out through its skin.
Oh, yeah.
So they now have bone spikes coming out of their skin, and then they immediately start spitting up a horrific poison that they coat their bodies with. So now they are spiky and coated with poison to make sure that if anything tries to take a bite out of them, they will get punctured and poisoned and die. And then, when the danger is over, they retract to their spikes and then just, like Wolverine, just heal over.
Yeah.
They're fine. They just put their ribs back in place and then heal up and they're fine. Again, just like Wolverine.
I mean, there's a type of frog who will break its own finger bones when it's in trouble to give itself claws.
That's terrifying. That is terrifying. They kept, and on the, I can't remember the actual name of this this salamander, but on the podcast, they kept referring to it as the Wolverine lizard or the Wolverine salamander.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's the Wolverine newt. That's what they called it. And
oh, man, that's way less cool than the Wolverine salamander.
I know. But anyway, man, where's my regeneration? That's what I want to know. So let's see. Oh, man. How much do I want to go into stuff? I mean, I got... All right, here. I'll give you this little one. Ready? Do you know where Schuyler, Nebraska is?
Yeah.
Okay, Schuyler down by Columbus.
Yeah.
Schuyler is the seat of Colfax County. And both Schuyler and Colfax were named after Vice President Schuyler Colfax.
Okay. We had a Vice President Schuyler.
He was the 17th Vice President of the United States. He was Vice President to our 18th President, U.S. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant. Yeah, no, I get that. I don't have time for jokes. I'm on a roll.
The town I went to school in, hey, it was named after President Pierce. People are like, we had a President Pierce? I'm like, you bet we did.
All right. But here's the thing. This is a vice president, and they named their city and county, Schuyler and Colfax, respectively, and they did this while the man was still alive.
Oh?
Like, they weren't honoring a dead vice president. No, they did it while he was... Oh, in fact, not only while he was alive, while he was still vice president.
Oh.
Like, and to me, that is a huge difference between today and 150 years ago is, wow, people really trusted their politicians once upon a time. I mean, you know, we talk about how, you know, we talk about the stereotype of crooked politicians and how people have always had mistrust of authority and this kind of stuff. But in general, like, I was listening to Hardcore History this week, and he said something about how, you know, before Vietnam, before the 70s, when politicians told you something, most of America just assumed that it was true. Even if it was from the opposition party, even if it was from someone whose views you didn't agree with, when they stated facts from the podium, most everybody in America just assumed that, well, okay, but the facts are true. I may not like the guy, I may not like what he stands for or his politics, but he's not lying to me. That was just assumed. Weird. Really weird. Like, even before Trump, I mean, we've had a problem with believing that politicians are lying and misrepresenting themselves and all this, I mean, since Nixon. So, just a very different thing. So, you can throw in any time, man.
Give me a topic I can talk about.
Spotify?
I can talk about Spoofy.
Okay. Because I wanted to start listening to more music, and so I called my son and I said, okay, so what should I use for listening to music? Because I haven't yet. And he's like, you just want some free music? Yeah, Spotify. So yeah, I took Aiden's advice, and that's what I used. Because I know that I could have gone through Google Play or I could have gone through a bunch of stuff, but Aiden said Spotify.
Yeah, I use YouTube only because a lot of stuff I listen to you can't find on Spotify because there's an accompanying video and then yada, right. Yada, yada.
Right. Because for me, wow, I love Spotify.
Yeah.
This thing is great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, you want to talk about first world problems. Every day,
my music is too good.
Every day, they give me six playlists, and those of you who already have Spotify already know this, but every day they give me six playlists of that. Each playlist is a mix of songs that I have and songs that they think I'll like. And then in addition to that, there's also every week they give me new releases and a weekly mixtape and blah, blah, blah. And so I have all these opportunities to listen to stuff I know I love, along with stuff that is similar to it that I might like. And so as I listen to music, I just, you know, any song that I've never heard before, but it hits with me. I just put it into a playlist for all my new music. And then every once in a while I play through the new music list and make decisions on whether or not I actually want to keep them or not. And again, here's my first world problems is, I just don't have enough time to listen through all this music. I don't have enough time to sort them all out. What am I going to do? This is the worst thing that's ever happened to any person ever.
Yes, Starbucks.
You have no sympathy for me.
No, not at
it's
all.
It's terrible. The anxiety. Okay, I don't really feel any anxiety over it, and it doesn't really hurt me in any way, but it is, you know, every time I open up Spotify, it's like, you know, getting home and you look at your Netflix queue because you want to watch stuff, and instead of watching any of this awesome TV everyone's told you about that's piled up, you just, you know, go watch a rerun of The Simpsons. It's like that. It's like, it's an embarrassment of riches is what it is.
Well, I mean, I can just imagine you lying in bed, just staring at the Spotify notification on your phone, and just, like, you can watch the time tick away on the clock minute by minute as you horrified look at that notification because you don't have time. You need to be sleeping right now.
It is. It's exactly
and
like
and that. Then eventually, after enough minutes go by, you just see the sun rise behind you in the window.
Wow. Okay, we need to make that video. That would be awesome.
The arms of an angel.
Okay.
Every day, a middle-aged man doesn't have time to listen to his music on Spotify. For pennies a day, you can help these men.
But they can't, really. Were they going to listen for me? That's what Spotify does. Spotify's already there to tell me what I might like. Damn it. It's hopeless. I'm a lost soul. Okay. That's the end of Fingertips. We're done. instead, we're going to try something new that we call the pod.
O-matic.
Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio pod O-matic. At the end of every cast, I bring up R2 and these
fully pimped out pod-o-matic bubble.
And he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Well, and Aiden, too.
Yeah, I guess.
And where do these topics come from, you ask?
If I feel like it.
Well, that's where you guys come in. You want to hear us haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to us by email, or better yet, any private message on my forums at nerdpryradio.com/nerds. We will add it to the Podomatic list, because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And the first number is 24. And 24 comes from... Ooh, it comes from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
And Kyle says, if you could force Donald Trump to just admit that he slept with a porn star and then tried to buy her silence, which porn star would you choose? Also,
Can I choose past porn stars?
Sure.
Because probably Sasha Grey. Because she's super vocal about everything and there'd be some great stories there.
Okay. I was gonna say John Holmes.
Ooh.
Ron Jeremy.
Oh my gosh, a match made in heaven.
I ship it. I swear. If I could force Donald Trump to just admit that he slept with Ron Jeremy and then tried to buy, oh, it says buy her silence. Oh, how dare you assume gender? What's wrong with you?
Ron Jeremy Coon, we can't do this. The media will find out. No. Trump's on. It is okay.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait. His question wasn't done. Sorry, that was unfair. Also, how gross must it be for his wife to find out he slept with a porn star without using a condom, allegedly? Oh, yeah, dude, the whole thing.
Oh, no, it's not news to her.
Look, Melania is... She had to know what she was getting into. He had a long history of this with the previous wives.
She's just in it for the visa, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say she doesn't genuinely have affection for Donald Trump or didn't at some point. She may have. He may have charmed her socks off and then the rest
of her clothes off eventually.
Right. But who knows? But either way, yeah, I do not think she is in any way thrilled about her current marriage, but, you know, she is married to one of the most powerful men in the world, so, you know, she's got that to lull her to sleep at night. So, all right, anyway, the number that I rolled was 09.
09?
And 9 is from?
It's from 175, whoa. Jesus.
It's from Ronster. Hey,
Ron. Ronster.
Ron says, do you know anyone who is afraid of clowns, and have you done anything clown-related to prey upon that fear? Do I know anyone who's afraid of... I assume I know lots of people that are afraid of clowns, because there's lots of people who are afraid of clowns.
I do know a person that's afraid of clowns.
Uh-huh.
And I'm planning something. And I know they listen to the podcast, so I can't say much.
Okay, and if you're listening right now and you're afraid of clowns, no, it's not you, it's the other person.
No, it's the other one. Okay. Don't worry about it.
No, I have never done that.
But I plan to.
Yeah. Because it says, if not, why not? I don't know that I've ever I once tortured my sister-in-law with a June bug because she was, at the time, deathly afraid of insects of any sort.
I mean, June bugs are just gross, though.
Right, exactly. And this was one that was stuck to my shirt and I pulled it off. And so here I am with this huge-ass bug. And I wound up, twice I think I did this to her. Once was when we worked together at Perkins.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. And it was, I didn't even have a bug. I just pretended I did, and she freaked out and ran away. But with the June bug, I actually chased her through the house with it because it was really funny. But not with clowns. I don't think I've ever had that experience.
Yeah, I've never pulled a clown off my shirt and chased someone with it.
Well, no, not someone who was scared
of
them.
What you doing here, bozo? Oh, he's so cute.
Oh, shoot, I had already... No, this is right. Never mind, I thought I was rolling ahead. 83.
I'm calling it now, it's Kyle.
Sarah Beth, that's my guess. 83 is from Ronster.
We're both wrong. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Ron. If you could, which Supreme Court decision would you overturn, and towards what end, you dictator? I already know.
I don't know anything about any Supreme Court decisions.
I would overturn the relatively recent decision a couple years ago by the Supreme Court to end the Voting Rights Act, where, look, during the 60s, they implemented the Voting Rights Act because there were lots of states, states mostly in the South, but it's not exclusive to the South, that for one reason or another had laws that were discriminatory towards people of color, one reason or another, mostly racism. And just a couple of years ago, they decided that, a case came before them and they said basically that, hey, look, it's been 40 years, almost 50. Clearly, we've moved beyond all of this. I mean,
gosh, no, we haven't.
We have a black president. I think we're pretty much done with this, right? And they decided that this was a needlessly burdensome,
burdensome? It's sitting in a drawer doing nothing.
Oh, no. Because the Voting Rights Act, it required that if you're going to make changes to your voting laws, like who qualifies to vote or how they qualify to vote or how they go to vote, if you're going to have changes like that, it has to be reviewed by a federal agency. I don't know all the details of it, but it had to have a federal review that said that this is okay. And the Supreme Court said, look, we've moved beyond all this. This is a needlessly burdensome restriction. There is no reason we should have to do this anymore because racism is basically done. Clearly, no one is going to be making racist voting laws.
But at this point, it's not about race.
Mm. It's about race. And so,
I was going to say that now they're perfectly allowed to change the voting rights of any living person.
Right. And so, yeah. And so they wound up, striking down the Voting Rights Act. And now, since then, we have seen, a huge rise in the number of, voting restrictions that, while I'm sure are not motivated by racism in any way,
Is that an I'm sure with air quotes?
No, because it's not, it actually isn't about racism. The people who are implementing these restrictions on voting rights are implementing them in such a way that they want to, alright, to their credit, they say they are doing this because they want to make our voting process more secure and ensure that, you know, the process, they want to ensure the integrity of our voting process. They want to ensure that people are not, practicing any kind of voting fraud or any kind of, and this is a way of tightening things up and keeping things more above board. But in doing so, those laws restrict some voters, make it more difficult for some people to get to the polls, and cut some people out of the voting process, just by how they work. And the people who are affected most tend to be Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And people of color are disproportionately more Democrat than Republican, and therefore these laws, when implemented, seem to disproportionately affect people of color. And so the people who are putting these laws in place will say it's only for the security and integrity of the voting system, but the side effect is, oh yeah, it does cut out a lot of people of color who vote Democrat, and therefore it is advantageous to Republicans who are the people who are putting these laws in place. It is never Democrats putting it in place, it is only Republicans, and the restrictions never disproportionately affect Republicans, only Democrats. So therefore, you know, again, I'm implying certain things, but you know, you'll don't have to say it outright, you just have to look at the facts and go, okay, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
But
then there are those
why.
People who can't be swayed by fact because they know the truth.
Well, that's all of us, I think. But my point is, if I had to overturn a Supreme Court decision right now, that would be the one I would overturn. So,
good
there
choice.
You go.
Yeah, I don't know about Supreme Court decisions.
There's probably a bunch of others, and maybe even others that are more important to me, but I don't think... fine, I guess I'm done with that.
It is 34.
34 is?
We get it. You have opinions. Let's move on.
I have... All right, after this, I have one more opinion, and then I'm finished. This one's from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Aiden, what's the last thing you watched on YouTube?
Fucking, let me pull up my history.
Okay, see, now that one was gratuitous.
I'm sorry, I...
Totally gratuitous.
Instinctual.
How dare you?
The last thing I watched on YouTube was...
All right, while he's looking that up, the last
Comment
thing...
Awards V155 by Comment Awards.
Comment Awards?
It's a bunch of memes, okay?
Oh, okay. Last thing I watched was, Noah? Noah, did you and I watch a video together last night on YouTube?
Yes,
it was Joke. Yeah. Oh, no, that was a couple nights ago. Okay, that was Joke Seth Can't Tell, but that's not the most recent thing I watched. The most recent thing I watched was a Between the Scenes with Trevor Noah, an outtake from The Daily Show, where he was talking about the caravan invading our southern border. So I'm pretty sure that was the last thing I watched. If not, it was something like that. It may have been Stephen Colbert. It may have been, who knows. But something like that. 88 is from, there it is. It's from Kyle again. Kyle's the big winner today.
Hi, Kyle.
Man. Yeah, Kyle, you know what? We're being generous to you just because you lost your house. No, seriously. Any other week, I would be cutting you out. But this time, you know what? It's time to let him get a word in. That's what I'm saying. So, Kyle says, what's the last word of the last text message you sent?
Man, this was real easy for me.
Go for it.
Give me a second. It is say.
Wow. Mine is dogs. I guess we're done.
Right?
79.
Nice.
Oh, look at that. Just one more up. Oh, we were so close. 79 is from Mrs. Darks.
Hi, Mrs. Darks.
Hello, Sarah Beth. So, did your kids learn cursive in school?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. Oh, what, your kids didn't?
You don't know my kids.
Yes, they did. If not...
They
do
did.
Do you think it... Well, either way, do you think it should be taught?
Yes and no.
Yeah, look...
I feel like they should be taught how to sign their name, and that's about it.
It's a trade-off. I don't really care if they can even sign their name. You can print your signature. That's not a... I have a printed signature that's awesome. But I use
Your cursive signature is horrifying.
Yeah, I use my sloppy cursive one because that's what people expect. But I don't... You know, even when I did lots of handwritten stuff, which now I type most everything, I didn't use cursive very often.
I never use cursive.
My cursive script looks terrible. My print script looks very neat. I shouldn't say very neat, but my print script is very legible, and I like my print script, and therefore, can I say print and script at the same time? I think script implies cursive. It doesn't matter. The important part is I do not think that cursive is essential. Its main use right now, literally, is for reading stuff that's old. I mean, that's the main thing about cursive. So you can read old things. Because I also don't think most kids, even if they learn cursive, and mine did, I don't think they get enough cursive writing practice that they're going to have great cursive handwriting ever. It is literally you're teaching them how to speak Latin so they can read the old texts. That's all you're doing,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I don't have a problem with them teaching it if they choose to. But, you know, that's 15 minutes out of the school day each day. Is that how long cursive lessons are each day? Like 15 minutes?
Well, no, there's quite a bit of it in...
Oh, they spend like a half hour each day on practicing letters and then sending home the practice sheets and that kind of stuff?
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a fair amount of time for a skill that is not terribly essential, in my opinion. What is essential, and what I think every kid should have, is keyboarding. Every kid should know how to type.
Absolutely.
Everybody should know how to type, and they should start it. Like, all of our kids learn to type in 7th grade. Noah's doing it right now. And I think I...
We also did some stuff in 5th and 6th
grade. Yeah, you guys did a little bit of intro stuff in 5th grade and 6th grade. And then in 7th grade, they get the full 6-week keyboarding course where they actually learn to type. And
where they learn to play the keyboard.
Yes, that's exactly what I just said. God, if I could remember the bard power that lets you use your keyboarding skill for... Oh, I can't remember which skills it's for. I think it's diplomacy and... Damn it, I was going to make a good joke there, but I've...
And why should we trust you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. I've ruined it by dissecting the frog. Thank you for saving me.
You had to pull you out of the frog hole.
So, that's, yeah. God damn it, I got stuck in the frog hole again. God, I'm using that. When I say using that, probably only here on the podcast because no one else would get it.
We don't want to talk, we don't want to hear you using the frog hole on the podcast. Come on.
So, and then she says, look, if it wasn't taught in school, would you teach them at home if they weren't learning it? And she says she is teaching her own daughter at home. Which, you know what? I might just, like, not, I don't know that I'd necessarily teach them how to write in cursive, because I don't think it's that important. There's all sorts of other fascinating nerd things I could be doing with my kids other than the amount of time it takes to
teach them a new language.
Right, to practice handwriting. But I would work on teaching them to read cursive and explaining how, how the letters are formed and how they, why they would use cursive in the first place and then how you can translate the letters. Because, some of it is obvious. Some letters, once you know what cursive is, some of the letters you can figure out pretty easily, some of them not so much.
Doing with I? I or B? Those are the weird ones for me.
Oh, the capital ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got me, man. I don't understand. F. F is weird.
Yeah, F is super weird.
Yeah. So,
for those of you who don't know cursive, whoops.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what I got on cursive.
37.
37 is... Oh, it's way up here. And, oh, all right, it's Kyle again.
Hi, Kyle.
See, Kyle, I told you we'd take care of you. How often do you eat dairy?
Every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Milk, cheese, yogurt.
Yeah, every day. I have, I'm on a very low-carb diet right now, a keto diet almost, although I hate using that word. But I eat very few carbs, and so among the things that I can eat, meat, dairy, eggs, cheese. These are things that I can eat pretty easily. Nuts. And then, you guys know, I got a real problem with fruits and vegetables, but I've been working on it. Yeah, in the last 2 weeks, I have eaten a grand total of 4 apples, which is 4 more apples than I've ever eaten in my entire life. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I ate 4 whole apples. Well, okay, I peeled them first, but... I realized, because I've tried eating apples before, and I'll, cut them up, and I'll try and eat the apple slices, and I finally realized that it's the peels that are the worst part for me.
The skin?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. All those apple peels everywhere?
You know what I mean. Because you peel it, it's screw you. So, my point is, yes, I've been working in at least 4 or 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which has been huge for me. I've never done that in my entire life, but I've been doing it every day for several weeks now, and I'm really proud of that. But along with that, yeah, I wind up having my breakfast most mornings is an egg with a slice of cheese on top of it. When I get to work, I will do my coffee, which I've always taken my coffee black my entire life, but I had... I had some leftover milk in the fridge at work. And so one day I'm like, well, okay, I can do milk on a low-carb diet, and I don't want this milk to go bad. So I started putting a half cup of milk in my coffee every day, just my first cup in the morning. I put in the half cup of milk. And it turns out the taste doesn't really make much difference to me, but if I add that half cup of milk, oh, hey, now it's at the perfect drinking temperature, so I don't have to let it sit there for a half hour before it's cool enough to drink, because I have a really well-insulated mug that it is super hot for a long time.
I don't know why, but I thought that sentence was going to end with you have a super insulated mouth, and I don't know what I was going to do with that information, but I was hoping.
I wish that that's where that sentence had gone. That would be really funny. So anyway, yes, I have dairy every single day. He says, most meals? Nah, I wouldn't say most meals, no. I have the, if I'm going to put cheese on my breakfast, yeah, if I put cheese on my egg, yeah, then I'll do it then. And sometimes, especially if we have a casserole, casseroles often have cheese in them.
But, yeah.
You know, no, not every meal. Not even most meals, I wouldn't say. Every meal? Snacks? How many calories in dairy do you think you eat a day on average? Right now?
150.
Yeah, right now probably something on the order of 150 to 200 calories worth of dairy a day. And then he says, I'm jealous. Yeah, I know you are, dude. Look, before I went on this low-carb diet, before I was worrying about how much I was putting into my body, oh, shit, I could easily have, you know, 3 or 4 slices of cheese with different things. I could easily drink, you know, 2 glasses of milk or you know, big old thing of cheese dip or, you know, seconds or thirds on that pizza with all that extra cheese on it or...
Weird flex, but okay.
I mean, what do you mean?
It's a weird thing to brag about, but, you know.
I'm not bragging. I'm saying, dude, I could have been at some point taking in, you know, 500, 600, 700 calories worth of cheese and milk products every day.
It's a meme where someone points out something about their life, and then someone goes, weird flex, but okay, as if they were bragging.
I got it. Okay, that's funny. So, and I'm sorry you can't have dairy, dude. I know you have substitutes, and I know that they're not as good. But, hey, here's the thing, is that the longer you're away from real dairy... The more you your body becomes convinced that those cheap-ass imitations are actually satisfying good.
Wait.
You know, they're almost as good for you now.
Lutefisk isn't dairy, right?
No, Lutefisk is not dairy. Lutefisk contains, it's lye, but no dairy.
Right, you can have Lutefisk. There you go.
All right.
It's all good.
65.
65 comes to us from...
Ronster.
Hi, Ron.
Ron says, you are traveling to D.C. with your family on an all-expenses-paid trip, but you only get to see 3 museums, memorials, or exhibits. What do you choose? Smithsonian?
Yes.
Smithsonian?
Because it's huge. But then, what else would you see while you're in D.C.?
Well, I mean, okay, wait.
I mean,
a lot of the monuments you see just by looking in a single direction. So are you going to tell me that as long as I'm outside, I'm going to be blindfolded?
Like,
what kind
like,
of
no,
hostage
no, which,
situation
you know,
am I in?
Ones that you're going to actually go visit and spend time in, like going to stand at the base of the Washington Monument and do that experience, or to go see the Lincoln Memorial, which if you don't go see it, you're not just going to see it in passing. So if you want to see the Lincoln Memorial, you have to actually go to it. If you want to take a tour of the White House, that could be one of your things. I don't even know enough about what there is to do in D.C. I've just named the 4 things that I'm good with. There's the... See, but then there's other things that I don't even know... I don't even know if they're in D.C. or just close to D.C. I have no idea. So I don't know. You know what? I would do the Smithsonian... I might do the White House tour, because I think that would be really cool, and I don't really care. And you know what? D.C., my wife has always wanted to do a D.C. vacation. I think I would really, really enjoy it if I was there, but I haven't done any prep work for it, so can't tell you. So, 98. Oh, God, we have Google. We could have done...
Things to do in D.C.
10 must-see things in Washington, D.C. You know what? We're going to do that right now. Hold on. And we're done. Okay. Turns out that the first site I went to says, you know what? Actually, the Lincoln Memorial is the most impressive thing that you're going to see there. There's the whole mall and the water out in front and the memorial. They said, you need to go see the Lincoln Memorial. So you know what? I'm going to put that on my list. And I will do the Lincoln Memorial, the White House, And apparently you can see the Washington Monument from the White House, so kind of cheating and getting the extra half in there. And then the Smithsonian. It also recommends the Capitol Building and Library of Congress, but we only had three, so I guess we're stuck. All right, 98 is where we left off. 98 is from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle
says, what do you regret doing the most in the last 24 hours?
I haven't slept in over, like, 35 hours.
Ooh, yeah, that would suck, dude.
I regret not sleeping.
Let's see. I was taking the dogs out this morning, and in the process of bringing them back in, I was trying to get them in, get the leashes untangled, get them some food, and my son, Eli, came and asked me to do something, and I was just kind of frustrated at the moment, and I was like, I felt like I had already answered your question, so I snapped a little bit, and I don't think I should have done that. But that's really about it. I mean, like, the last 24 hours, because in snapping at him, it was also, like, because it was him and his mom asking me to come do stuff with them, and I was like, yeah, look, when I'm done with this, I'm done. And it was a little harsh. So, I mean, I apologize when we made up and it's not that huge a deal, but I feel bad about that. But again, the last 24 hours, like, I went to work. I had a really productive day at work yesterday. We had a good night last night, ate a really good meal, had, you know, like, nothing really eventful has gone on. So my regrets are going to be, you know, something small. That's a typical 24-hour time period regret. It's, oh, yeah, I wish I hadn't reacted like that. But, okay, you know, made up for it. You really should sleep, dude.
92. I mean, good night.
Yeah, no, not now.
You
got to be to work in an hour and a half. When are you going to shower?
I already did.
No, when are you going to shower for real? I'm sorry, you guys couldn't see that. I leaned over, pretended to smell him, and then asked him when he was going to shower for real. That was the... And actually, all I can smell is his deodorant, so it really wasn't an effective test. This one's from Phoebe.
That's weird. I didn't put on deodorant today.
That's weird.
I'm joking.
I can't believe you just naturally smell like that. How much time in total would you estimate that you spend looking at a smartphone screen on an average Friday?
All of it. No. I'd give it about 1.5 hours total.
I would give it more than that because I do... Most of my interneting is now done on my smartphone, just because it's the easiest way to do it. And plus, you know, when I watch my YouTube videos or when I, you know, a lot of my entertainment comes from my phone. So on an average Friday, God, it might even be 2 to 3 hours sometimes. But I don't know. On average, let's call it two. Let's call it two, but it might be more than that. I don't know. That's weird. And is this amount... has this amount changed since you first had access to a smartphone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's increased as my smartphone has become more useful. When I first had a smartphone, I didn't have unlimited access to the internet with it, and so therefore, my laptop was my primary source of my internet. The phone was just the backup in case I didn't have access to my laptop, I didn't have access to another computer, then I would break out the phone. But now, it's kind of shifted the balance, and the smartphone is just the primary. So, you know, it happens. 06. 06 is... It is from Kyle. Woo, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Good to see you here. How many different shirts do you work into the regular rotation for work? One. All right. This is... Okay, technically I have 5 shirts, but they're all identical.
Technically I have 1 shirt that is identical, 2 that I could be wearing to work, not anymore, but because they were for a limited time that we were supposed to wear them at work, but now we're not supposed to anymore, but we can't anymore anyway if we put on a smock first, blah, blah, blah. All
right. Yeah. Yeah, he works in a spot where it's got to be red t-shirt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Red, white, or black, yeah. But I prefer red.
Oh, well, you know what? If you come home, I think there's a couple of red t-shirts that are just washed and folded and sitting there, and they're not, and they're in your size because they don't fit in either of the little boys. You can just take them. Anyway, my office, recently we got consolidated into another department, which is a great thing, and we're really excited about it. And as part of that, all of us have been issued, if we want them, we don't have to wear them. All right. We're allowed to dress, you know, however we want. Well, not however we want. It has to be, you know, appropriate for the business day. But
I'm sure they let you come in naked.
Offered to buy us all shirts that have the company name right there on the front. And it's just it's a pocket polo that has the company name right over the pocket. It's small and it's unobtrusive. And the polos are in black. And they said, if you want them, you can have up to 5 of them. Just give us your size, how many you want, and they're yours. And so I have 5 identical black polos, uniform polos technically, that I can wear to work. And that's all I wear when I go to work. No pants, no socks, nothing. Just the, no. like literally the only thing I have to choose every day is what color t-shirt I want to put underneath my, my black polo. And that's really all that rotates. And I love these shirts. Like, I don't know where the hell they got them. I don't know what the material is made of, but they are super durable. They, water bounces off of them. They're water repellent. So water bounces off of them. Stains don't stick to them. Like, at one point, I can't remember where we were having lunch, but I accidentally dripped cheese sauce off of something onto myself. This was back when I was before the low carb diet. I dripped some cheese sauce onto my shirt, and so I grabbed the napkin, and it's like, it just came off. It left no residue behind, nothing. Oh, stain resistant, water resistant, these things are great.
It's like, it feels like the same material we had back at the theater.
Yeah, you could throw these things into a ball in the corner, and you could pick them up 2 days later, completely unwrinkled, no ironing required. Mm-hmm. They're the best. I keep telling my wife that, look, they're so durable and magical that you don't even need to launder these, but she keeps insisting that I launder them. So,
right?
I know, she's crazy.
It's so hard making counterfeit shirts anymore.
Oh, man. But once you launder them, then you can put them back into circulation. So anyway, I have 5 matching shirts, and that's all I wear all week at work. And in fact, when I got up this morning, the shirt and t-shirt I wore to work yesterday were just laid out on top of my dresser, and so, you know, it's a Saturday. That's what I'm wearing now. I'm still wearing the same damn uniform shirt because it was just the easiest thing to throw on my way out the door.
Weirdly enough, it smells like Cheetos.
Thank you.
I've been trying a new shampoo. Thanks, Aiden.
05. 05. Oh, we're already here. 05, right next door. It's also from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle, I think you've hit 7 today. That's pretty good, man. Kyle says, I'm thinking about getting another pair of rats, pet rats. What should I name them? First of all, dude,
name them Flood and Waters.
Yeah, exactly. Flood and Waters. That's what Noah suggested. Dude, I think getting pet rats at this point is really unwise. I mean, you don't even have a house yet. You have no place to live. I can't. I mean, look, it's your life. You do whatever you want.
The rats will find him a house.
Is it possible that he submitted this before his house was flooded?
Oh.
Maybe.
Don't get rats right now. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, you really shouldn't. But Flood and Waters is the first suggestion. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Merry and Pippin from The Lord of the Rings. And I know they don't sound like it, but they're both male names. But they work for females as well, so you can go either way. If you care about the gender of your rats. Maybe you don't want to make that public.
Those rats can be whatever gender they like. It's 2018. Come on.
Fafford and the Grey Mouser? Were those a pair that went together? I think so. I just think Grey Mouser for a rat is kind of funny. But, you know, you know what? Spade and Farley. That is the name for your pair of rats. I named the smaller one Spade, the larger one Farley. You're set. So, and that.
But don't get any right now.
Okay. And that is the end for 88. We've already done that one. 96. I think we've already done that one, but let's look. Let's see. Nope, 96 is open. 96 is from Mrs. Darks.
Mrs. Darks.
And it says, what member of the Nerd Pride, whom you have not met before, do you most want to meet in person?
Is that the official name for your fans, by the way?
The Nerd Pride? They are the Nerd Pride, yes. Apparently. I like it. It's growing on me. Well, it would have to be someone that I'm gaming with or have gamed with, and that brings it down to people that I'm currently gaming with that I have not met in person would be Talvin and Ronster. And I'm going to put Talvin at the top of the list because we've just spent 5 years together in this Pathfinder game that we're doing, and he's played the D&D games or the Paranoia games with us. And
I thought Ronster was your best friend in the whole world, though.
Ronster is my best friend in the whole world. Don't get me wrong, best friend in the world. But also, I am going to get to meet Talvin at Gen Con this year, so I'm kind of excited about that. So it's coming up. All right, and then that's it. Oh wait, what about you? Is there anyone from the Nerd Pride that you really want to meet in person that you haven't yet? Wow, he doesn't like any of you people. Here's GLaDOS to give us a recap of this
week. I don't know them by name!
Here's GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode so far, you monster.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write me a nice review or a crappy review or no review as long as it has 5 stars on it, because that's what's making the difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me, the Nerd Pride Radio podcast. Well, me and Aiden, the Nerd Pride Radio podcast. And Bicoastal Disorder. Awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook, and, you know, maybe you're one of Aiden's lucky platinum members. You can find Listener Betrayal and respond there. If you have, I've completely thrown myself off. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on some sorts of social media things, whatever. I don't look at those as often because, to be totally honest, the very best way to come and find me is sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message, we'll hang out together, we will become best friends in the world, except for Ronster, obviously, who is the best friend in the world. But you will be right up there next to Ronster. We'll have fun.
You threw me off there.
I'm sorry. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before we start recording any podcast, we go out to our forums and Facebook and Aiden's Platinum List, and we say, hey, we are recording. Anything you post up, we will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what we're doing right now. And this week, I've run out of thoughts to devote to clever questions for you guys, so I just decided to roll up a Podomatic question and ask that instead. So, out on my forums, I said, this week, a question from Kyle from the Podomatic. The question is, I gave up on Game of Thrones in the last season, 7th season? It jumped the Khal Drogo. Are you still watching? Did you ever watch it? Okay, that was Kyle's question. And the answer from Ronster is, Ronster says, wow, I see how you are, picking Talvin over me. Whatever, I see that we're really best friends, aren't we, jerk? Okay, no, that's not what he says. But man, wouldn't that be funny? That was Aiden's suggestion when he saw Ron Strickland was going to be in the responses while we were waiting through the silence after the credits. Anyway, I stole his joke and pretended it was mine. Don't tell him. Ronster says,
"Hey, I just got back from the bathroom. What'd I miss?"
Ronster replied to,
"Oh, hey, cool."
Ronster says, "Hail and well met, friend. I shall now betray thee as thou hast sought. I am still waiting for winter to come to Westeros and still anxiously anticipating the next season of Game of Thrones." Really? See, in whatever, I guess, season 6 we were in, season 6 of Game of Thrones was the last DVD that we got from Netflix DVD service before we finally decided to cut that off. We don't get any more DVDs. And that DVD from, I'm thinking season 5, season 6, season, I don't remember what season it was. But that DVD sat unwatched in our house. It was that and the movie The Mist, I think. Both discs sitting unwatched in our house for like 6 months before we finally went, this is not worth our time anymore. We clearly are never going to watch these. So I had Game of Thrones in my house and just couldn't bring myself to watch it because it just, I don't know, just wasn't that motivated. So I let it go. I'm still eagerly anticipating the book, although all the hype that's gone on and some semi-spoilery things that I've seen from the TV show, and I don't know how much of that's going to apply to the book, but it is a little disappointing. I'm not even as thrilled about the book as I used to be, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'll still read the book when it comes out, but it's not, I'm not as excited as I once was. The next one is from Ronster. And Ronster says, "Aiden, please regale us with a Skyrim adventure or tell us about a mod that you use. My game is all vanilla unmodded, so I never see the cool mods in action except on YouTube or Twitch." What do you got?
A lot of my mods are just like quality of life stuff, so it's nothing ultra game changing, but I've had a couple. But, so there I was on the island of Solstheim. My Warhammer in hand, taking on undead on a side island. All was going to according to plan, nothing out of the ordinary, until from behind me, I hear the Walrus by the Beatles. A horker had come crawling over the hill behind me, and horkers don't make sound when they move, so I hadn't noticed it until the music trigger already played for its proximity.
Uh-huh.
So as I'm fighting the undead, Walrus is playing, and I know there's a horker somewhere in the vicinity, but I can't see a horker.
Mm-hmm.
I spend the next 5 minutes looking for a horker that's playing music.
I've had a similar...
Just purely by the sound that it makes, which is Walrus by the Beatles.
That's awesome. Once upon a time when I was playing GTA 3, Grand Theft Auto 3, I had a situation where my mission was I had to go to a public plaza and snipe some mob members from a building. Well, I was standing in the plaza and I had to shoot them through up. They were like on the 7th floor, so I had to shoot them through the windows of the building and pick them off one at a time. And while I'm doing this, I suddenly realize I'm taking damage. It's like, and not a lot of damage. It's not like, I mean, it's like over and over. So I'm getting hit and I'm like spinning around. I'm like, where the hell is that coming from? Someone is shooting me. And it turns out, I don't know what I did to her. It turns out there is an old lady. I mean, like one of their just old lady characters. She's just a random pedestrian, and she is standing behind me and whacking me in the head with her purse over and over while I'm sniping mob bosses. So I killed her. But, oh my god, it was terrifying. Go ahead.
A mod for Skyrim, if you're ever done adventuring and you run out of things to do, get the Become a Bard mod and then go buy yourself a flute. It's actually a really good time. Go play in some taverns for some coin.
I don't know what you mean. Skyrim is, I mean, it's a video game, right?
I'm sorry, okay, don't yeah, play I know nothing. Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't play Pokemon. So anyway, all right. Oh, and then he also says, also, Mike and Aiden, Why not do a live stream?
No.
I know, it says, it says Micah and Aiden.
You are Mika now.
Yeah. Why not do a live stream version of the podcast on Twitch?
I mean, we've thought about it.
Yeah, we've thought about it, but ultimately,
we're not too good to look at.
Right. Well, it would have to be an audio only. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'm not big on doing live stream at this point. Kyle and I, when we did the Animal Cast way back, we did a couple of live call-in shows. We didn't broadcast live, but we gave everybody the time so people could call in. And so we had a whole bunch of people, like, 10 people sitting around on a party line. And then we would just, when they signaled that they had something to say, we would, punch them into the feed and let them talk. So we've done that before. But, you know what? Too much work. Too much work. So, let's go over to Facebook and see what we got. Okay, now we're on to Facebook, and it is... I have to read my question first.
How dare you?
So first, it says, now recording episode 247, question from the Podomatic. What are your goals for next year? All right, first up is Nelly. Hey, Nelly. Nelly says, hi, I'm glad I made it again. Next year, my goal is to keep all my houseplants alive. Ooh, God, that is really hard.
Ew.
Learn to play the ukulele. All right, good luck. And get a promotion. Wow. In that order, is that the order of importance? Plants, ukulele, promotion. All right. Hey, goals are good.
I mean, the first two lead to the third, so.
Yeah. That's true. So that was the first thing they said in your performance review is, so, we note here that you've only managed to save 50% of your houseplants. Is there a reason for that? Okay. Next up is David, and David says, to finish filling out my goals list from last year and then accomplish the list from 2005. Then a nap. Realistic.
You're a little behind there, Dave.
Yeah, but realistic.
Yeah, fair.
Nelly then adds,
look, I've just learned to not make goals lists so I don't never disappoint myself.
Right. Too busy disappointing others.
Yeah.
It was a joke. Oh, I've made him sad, guys.
No, just honesty, you know?
Yeah, that's, well, I try. All right, next up. Nelly says, I have some quick questions. How many houseplants are too many houseplants? I don't know.
Can you move through your house effectively?
Right. Is the number of houseplants you have and the amount of time and resources it takes to take care of them interfering with other aspects of your life? Are they causing problems with other aspects of your life? If so, then that's too many.
Do they ask for blood?
But that would be a question of the resources they're taking. If you have to chop up your dentist and feed it into your plants, maybe one too many.
If you have to chop up your biker dentist,
yes,
then maybe you want to think about a different plan.
So, but look, if they are not interfering with with other things in your life that you enjoy and want to do, if you are getting enjoyment from them, then it's not too many. So, I mean, I can't be the judge of that. At what point is work too stressful and you should cut back, even if that means taking a pay cut you can't afford? Well, if you can't afford it,
then take it.
Yeah, you're going to have to buck up and do it. I mean, until you can find another job that can pay you for the correct amount of stress, I suppose. I guess it is hard for me to picture taking a pay cut I can't afford for my mental health. I mean, I suppose maybe there's a situation where you have to, but that is a really tough thing for me to picture because I don't know that I could do that. But anyway, I don't know. I guess I don't have a really good answer because I enjoy my job and I enjoy the people I work with, and so therefore it's harder for me to picture being in a position where I have a tough time picturing being in a situation where I would actually have to make a choice between having enough money to live and... Anyway, I don't know. Don't know. Next one's from Nelly.
Hi, Nelly.
Nelly says, I'm currently running a game day at a local library for work. Okay, hold on. Oh, man, it looks cool. She always attaches pictures.
It also looks like it might be at the Gen Con Conference Center.
Yeah, no, it is not. This is somebody's library.
I know it is. Let me see. From context, but, I gathered that.
Yes. But that's
cool
really looking.
Cool looking.
I don't even know if I recognize anything out here, but man, that's really cool. All right, so anyway, with enough of that, that is great radio. next up is, come on.
Gotta hit the double arrow up in the top.
No, that enters full screen.
I know what it does.
Butthole. All right, escape, and escape again. There we go. Nope. There.
Okay,
all right,
we're good.
Woo! Finally. Next up is Kyle, and he's the last one here. And Kyle says, what are my goals? I mean, wow, why are y'all doing this to me? I mean, I guess I'd like to rebuild my house and my life. I mean, how can you ask me this? You're a monster. I think we've already settled that I'm a monster. But, you know, if you need any help, I'm here to be your motivational coach.
I'll yell at you from 2,000 miles away.
Oh, stop. That's what I was going to do.
You can do it, Kyle!
No.
I believe in you!
What is wrong with you, Kyle? Get your shit together. People are relying on you. You're a father. Act like a man, for God's sake. Or a powerful woman. Or just act like a responsible human being. Jesus, Kyle. Quit your sniveling. Does that help? Because I will do that for days on end if that's what you need. I'm here for you. All right. Next up is Aiden's Platinum List.
All right, the first one is from Sam. Hi, Sam. Well, first, the question. I said...
Hey, yeah, the question.
Okay. You gonna fight me?
No, Whoa! I treat you the way you treat me, and suddenly I'm the bad guy?
Yeah, that's unfair to me. How dare you?
Okay. How dare you use my words against me?
I sent out, hey, Platinum members, my dad and I are recording today. If you'd like us to say anything... Or have us read something, now's your chance. We will read anything you send us. This week's question, your hometown has been voted to be annihilated, and you need to give a speech to save it. What are some of the things you'd say? Sam responded with, if you had one day with the powers of a god, what would you guys be doing? Well, that's just not going to save your town at all.
Completely ignored the question.
I'm one of the people who are trying to destroy my town.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, if I had the powers of a god, I would save my town, Sam.
Yeah, geez.
Like you should be doing. Look.
Your family lives there.
Yeah. You're just going to let them die because you can't be bothered?
Jeez.
Sad. All right. What other fans can we abuse?
This one's from Kyle. In much the same fashion as Facebook. Kyle says, I don't have a speech. My house was...
His town's already been annihilated.
Didn't even realize.
Oh my god, we're laughing at your pain. I'm so sorry, Kyle.
I don't have a speech. My house and the block I lived on was annihilated by a flood. You knew that. Why are you torturing me like this? I didn't even think of it, Kyle!
Oh my god. Alright.
Kyle, I'd like to point out that I have a random question generator, and I just go with whatever I roll up. I didn't even occur
to
me.
That's the story he's going with. You monster. All right. I am so sorry, Kyle.
What are your goals to reverse annihilate your hometown?
Let's get to the next one.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
From Jess. Just hurry up and do it already. Thanks, Jess.
Wow. Jess, really? Do you know where Jess's hometown is?
No.
Okay. Because maybe it's full of douchebags. You don't know. Okay.
From Dylan. If you had to get rid of Yankton, where are the Nebraskans going to get their illegal fireworks?
Nice. He's assuming that his hometown is going to be annihilated by Nebraskans. And thus his
No. Where are Nebraskans going to get their illegal fireworks?
Right, If it's not Nebraskans annihilating his town, why would they care?
Exactly. Okay.
And as much as we would like to annihilate them, yeah, he's right. We need to go there for fireworks.
Oh, Jess is from Yankton.
Oh, okay.
Jess says, if we get rid of Yankton, will they finally find room for a Sonic?
Wow. Sonic is pretty good.
From Emily. Hi, Emily. Hader is so tiny and insignificant. Would it really be worth the effort? I think Norfolk would get a much better view of the mushroom cloud if we went for Pierce.
Wow. Yeah, okay, now you're assuming the annihilation is going to be
nuclear.
Right. I was thinking some kind of chemical attack, but okay.
Dylan, where will the USD students get their illegal alcohol? Think of the children. Is Yankton okay? Is everything all right there? Seems like a lot of illegality going on there. From Emily, there's always Sioux Falls, Dylan. Also, you're 21. Why does it matter?
And then Dylan says,
think of the children.
Think of the children is always a good line when you're trying to save something.
I'm pretty sure if it's been voted to not be annihilated, the children have already been considered.
Wait, you're assuming that we're going to do this by democratic vote?
That was the question. Your hometown has been voted to be annihilated.
Voted? Wow. Okay, I get it. No, that's exactly right. All right, and then that's it. We are all done. So, you got anything in closing?
I'm sorry, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kyle. Hey, for those of you who were listening last week, or if you weren't listening last week, go to my forums, and every forum has the Jones Family Flood fundraiser right at the top. You can still go donate money or contact them through that page in order to find other ways that you might be able to help through time, resources, whatever you've got. I know we've made a lot of jokes about it here, and my brother obviously has a good sense of humor about the whole thing. At least, man, I hope that was a sense of humor.
Oh, my God.
But they're putting on a brave face, but they really are in dire uh-huh. situation. And anything that you can do to help, please go ahead and do it. And you're listening to this on a Monday. Tuesday, go vote. You will.
Absolutely.
Go vote. You want to be a midterm voter. You want to brag about being a midterm voter. Not just a voter. Everyone wants to brag that they're a voter. You want to brag that you're a midterm voter. That's who you are. That's who Aiden is. And you can be better than Aiden, right? See?
It doesn't take a lot.
It'll make you feel good. All right. Anyway, that's it. I love you guys. You're awesome. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.
Good night, guys.